Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Dublin 4-11, Mayo 11 points. We're joined by two All-Ireland champions on the line. Sinead Finnegan, hello. Sinead Goldrick, hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
You're on two mobile phones near each other somewhere in Dublin.
Yes, we are indeed.
Location is unconfirmed. We won't reveal.
Please do not make faces as the other one is speaking.
We won't.
I also have two Sinead's on the line, so I'm not quite sure. I mean, I don't know how we're going to work this. No nicknames are being volunteered. Okay, we'll go with Sinead Finnegan.
Oh, sorry.
And Sinead Goldrick.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with Goldie then, if that works.
Yeah.
Okay,
we've Sinead Finnegan and Goldie. So we'll have seen you guys yesterday in action doing a fine double marking job in Cora Staunton. We'll get on to all of that. But Sinead Finnegan, tell us, I know you were injured for a second half, but final whistle goes, given everything. Like, can you put into words when the whistle goes, the relief, the joy?
Yeah, it's absolutely relief is probably the overriding feeling and the ultimate emotion. You know, when you've been there kind of 3 years in a row and not gotten over the line, to finally get over the line is just incredible. So really, really happy today and obviously yesterday, and it's a really special bunch of girls, and to win that with like 33 or 34, I don't know what the number is of a really amazing bunch of girls, is just incredible.
Yeah, it was tied early on, Sinead Finnegan, 4 points apiece after 20 minutes, and it stayed nip and tuck. That said, you guys missed a penalty. Noelle Healy had a brilliant effort just off the post. So Mayo were still right in this game at halftime, 3 points down. Was any part of you thinking, oof, we should really be ahead by more here? Or what was your sense at halftime? And I appreciate you had an injury at that stage.
To be honest, we probably weren't overly happy with our performance. We were creating chances, but we weren't putting them away. And, you know, up until the final, we had been really consistent in our score count. We were kind of hitting, we have a mark of 70%, and we were kind of getting 70% or over in all of our games. So we weren't really happy with our performance in terms of finishing. But I, like, from the sideline, it's so different being on the sideline and being on the pitch. So for me, it was a completely new experience. But on the sideline was absolutely horrific. But the girls were still creating the chances, which was really positive. And I knew if they just kept digging it out, that they would finally come good and get those scores, which they did do in the second half. So it was really great.
What about you, Goldie? Were you watching that first half getting a slightly uneasy feeling as the penalty was missed and you hit the post and you're thinking, oh, this is a team that in the past, I know, you know, coughed up a 9-point lead to Cork. Was any part of you kind of thinking, oh, I'm not liking the feel of this?
Yeah, I think at some stages, you know, you kind of get that feeling in a game when, you know, Mayo defensively were very good and set up, that we kind of felt, oh no, we were only three, I think there's only 3 points in it, you know, for a good stage of it. So I suppose what we've learned from the last 3 years is that you have to keep going regardless if you're up by three or down by three. So I think that, like, as a team, we knew we could be in that position. So I think it was something that we kind of prepared to be in, and we kind of had to react and to make sure that we're staying in the moment and just kind of keep playing it simple. You know, when things are kind of, if a team's getting a purple patch on you, important thing is just to try and get on the ball and play it simple, and that's kind of what we've been working on all year, and the management has kind of instilled in us to, you know, keep the head, stick the plan, you know, and kind of things will hopefully come into place for us.
Yeah, you two had the job of marking Cora Staunton for large chunks of that first half, Sinead Finnegan. What was the, like, how early in the week did you know that was going to be the plan, or before that, and did you just, you know, do you work on it together as a double act in training, or how do you prepare for something like that?
Yeah, we spoke about it for a few of the sessions, and we planned for it. But, you know, Cora is one of their 15 who started, and, you know, Grace Kelly, Fiona McHale, they have many other players who I would think are fantastic footballers. I went to college with Fiona McHale, and, you know, I absolutely hated marking her in college training because she was so, so good. So, like, Cora wasn't the only focus, but she is a great player. But, you know, we kind of prepared for everyone, not just her.
She still got 16 shots over the course of the game. Like, she'd quite a few wides, but incredibly difficult to actually stop her getting the ball, even with two of you there. With, as you said, Sinead Finnegan, with other, like, brilliant Mayo runners coming through and other players, like, she still actually managed to get on a lot of ball.
Yeah, she did, and she got loads of shots away as well. Mm. We probably would have been disappointed with not getting more blocks than we did.
Yeah. The one thing, Goldie, it's very apparent this team has, your team has, is pace. Runners from deep, time after time after time. I saw Mick Bowen was interviewed afterwards, and he was saying one of the big things we talked about was tempo. And, I mean, like, the pace in this Dublin team is fairly phenomenal.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the likes of Noel Healy and Nicolo and Leah and Alwyn, you know, there is pace there. And that's kind of something that we've been focusing on all year, to play to our strengths and kind of the ability that our players have. And, you know, that's important that you kind of, because I think Mayo kind of set up defensively, you know, their two half forwards are dropping back.
Yeah.
So you kind of needed that burst of speed to come off to kind of, you know, to break through their defence. And I think that's something, you know, I suppose a huge strength in our team is the pace that we have. And, you know, you have to play to your strengths. So that's something that we've kind of worked on all year.
We saw Mayo the third sin bin, and it was pretty shortly after that the goals start coming. So Sarah McCaffrey gets her goal, and then Carla Rowe, brilliant finish from Carla Rowe. And, you know, like, there's some amazing moments. You see Jack McCaffrey celebrating in the stadium. Did either of you see that on the big screen as it was happening?
I actually did see it. I was on the sideline, so I did see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sarah has had a really tough year. She's suffered with a lot of injuries. So for her to come on and score two goals was absolutely amazing. And, you know, Sarah's a great person. And I was really, really happy for her personally, because she put in a lot of hard work and she's been really unlucky with the injuries that she's had all year. So for her to come on and get those two goals was really amazing.
Yeah, when Carla Rowe's goal goes in and you know it's won on the sideline, you can start hugging everyone, I presume, and like just getting ready to run onto the pitch. That's what that final few moments are like.
There's lots of tears at that moment. Everyone's eyes are filling up.
And in the dressing room as well, I presume. What, like, it's your first time, both of you, I know, missed out on 2010. What was it like being in a winning All-Ireland dressing room? Can you give us a flavour of what it was like for this team after three All-Ireland defeats? I mean, to have lost four would have been kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, I think Mick always speaks about a moment, you know, when we get older, we'll just give each other a look if we see each other, you know, 10 years' time, because you kind of know that special moment that you have.
Mm.
So I think everyone in the change room, you know, was just looking at each other. You know, we were just so happy that not many people were talking. We were just hugging each other because words couldn't really describe that feeling in there. And it was just kind of incredible. And hugs all around, really, in the change room.
We sang a version of Molly Malone, which was nice.
Yes.
I'll give us a bar there.
I'll let Sinead take that one.
No.
And Sinead Finnegan, what was it like for you? Because, you know, you'd missed out in 2010 as well. You stepped away from the team for a couple of years. Goldie was travelling to be in that winning dressing room. Did it live up to what you kind of hope it would be?
It was absolutely incredible. Sinead and I actually were off doing a few interviews, so we missed the moment. We had discussed what the entrance song would be into the change room and what the song would be. We have a stats man, DJ, who's also a DJ, Shane Carney. He told me to give him a shout out. he had arranged what song we would have playing in the change room, but we actually both ended up missing it. So it was Lily Allen's Not Fair, which is our team song. And we all gave a good rendition of that as well. But it was absolutely incredible. Like, stuff that you will never forget. So
yeah,
we're both two happy girls.
I can imagine. And how's the injury? Is it serious?
It's my calf. So okay. I actually tore my calf on Sunday and thought that I would be okay, but tried to play and didn't get through. But it's all fine. I'm just delighted that the girls got through, and I knew they would. They were brilliant, like everyone, and all the subs that came on really showed the depth and strength in our panel. Like Sarah, Fiona, Dee and Hannah, they all came on, made a massive difference. So no, the injury's fine. I'll be grand. I don't need my calf for a while again, so it's grand.
It's true. And we won't keep too much of your time, because I appreciate there's celebrations and people you want to go and see and spend time with. What happened last night? Where did you go? What did you do?
We had a function in the Gibson Hotel with our family and our friends, which was really, really special. It was a really lovely night, and we may have ended up in Coppers after, and we're out again today. We went to the hospital this morning, which was just, it was so surreal. It was just amazing.
Yeah, I saw the photos. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, it was a really lovely thing to be a part of. So we were all very happy to be there, and we're going to go to Sylvester's today, which is Sinead's. Her and our captain's club. So we'll go there, and then I don't know where the night will bring us, but hopefully we'll have a good one.
I would put €1,000 on coppers, to be honest. I think that's almost a guarantee. The other small point to mention, I guess, I mean, like, I don't know how important it is or isn't to you. I'd be very curious to know, like, 46,000 were at the final. There was an average of 303,000 people watching at home, which is up 100,000 people on 10 years ago. It's up 70,000 people on last year. Like, the country was very clued into this. Does that make it more special, less special? Do you care about that kind of stuff?
You know, I think you're all Ireland is the focus at the end of the day, if there's 20 people or, you know, 20,000. Mm. But there actually was a kind of moment I remember. I suppose I looked up and I saw the top tier of Croke Park Field, and I was just, I'm so proud, you know, that we were part of it. And yeah, I think that, you know, I remember going to the games when I was younger, and that game when you're looking at people out in the pitch. So hopefully, you know, that gave some motivation to people there, to boys and girls. You know, obviously for the All-Ireland final men's, it's like golden ticket to get to that game. Mm. So I think at the ladies' final football, you get a taste of what it's like. And, you know, it's a great exhibition of football. And, yeah, you know, it was really proud to see. And I think it's the top attendance game in Europe. So, yeah, you know, that's something that we're proud of. And to definitely win, you know what I mean? It was just brilliant.
Yeah. For you, the atmosphere, Sinead?
It was incredible. Like, just to echo what Sinead said, I was probably similar in former years. I probably wouldn't have really taken note of the crowd and stuff. But the upper tier is something that's never open at, yeah, these games. And it was open yesterday. And see people in the stands, and it was really amazing. Yeah, and it is something that you do feel very proud to be involved with. And Mick always says to us, you know, people can live for their life, and they mightn't, you know, ever experience something like that. And we're very lucky to be a part of it. So
yeah,
it was amazing.
No, absolutely. Like, it's 46,000 beats most Premier League games over the weekend as well. Like, it was a special thing, and it struck me as well watching. So there's a lot of kids there, which is brilliant, because in 10 or 15 years less, we have a bunch of people in their 20s who are used to going to these games.
Yeah, like, I think that's really important. And I think at, you know, the age of 13, you know, there's a lot of girls that might drop out of sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully if there's any younger players coming to that, it might give them, you know, something to kind of aspire to or want to be part of. So I think, you know, it's very important for, you know, women in sport, and, you know, supporting women in sport. And definitely I think Ladies All-Ireland Final is something, you know, that is something that we're very proud to be part of.
Yeah. One very last point then, and you can go to Sylvester's and Coppers and do whatever needs to be done. Can you give us a sense of where you guys were at the start of this year? So three All-Ireland Final defeats, and plenty of teams would look at each other and say, oh, you know, God, here we go again, start of a new season. What was the attitude? How motivated were you? Did you work harder than ever this year? Was it a difficult job to get people to go again in across 2017? Or, you know, when you look back on the year as a whole, like, what was the mindset of this group at the start of this journey?
I think, yeah, I was injured for the start of all of the league. So I suppose I was watching it from afar. And I think, you know, when you're kind of not training with the team, you look at the effort and the work rate that the team are putting in, and you kind of realize how hard everyone's working and how people push each other. So I think, you know, with our new management this year, they really gave a kind of fresh mindset in terms of our skill level and our focus. And, you know, I think it's important to note, you know, the last time that Dublin won was 2010, and it's 7 years. So the 7 years of work rate that our management, and even Greg McGonagall and Bobby, you know, who are our managers the last 3 years, you know, there's a foundation there from those 3 years. And I think that with the new management set up this year, they kind of brought a new fresh vibe to it. And I think that the players, you know, really bought into it. And we really kind of, I suppose, in our Kerry game and, you know, the Waterford game, I think that we kind of highlighted the skillful players that we have, especially in our forward line. Mm. So it was kind of, I suppose, we had a huge focus on skill level. I think that was maybe something that we focused on throughout the year.
Okay. Guys, again, congratulations. It's amazing to see a team come back after three defeats and to power through and get the job done. I get the sense you've enjoyed the last 24 hours. I hope you enjoy the next couple of days. We'll let the
Thank
two
you.
Of you go back into whatever establishment you're standing outside right now.
Thank you, Joe.
Well
Thank
done.
You.
Thanks.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Amelia. Thanks for having us. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
And you're very welcome back. So we've heard from Sinead Finnegan and Sinead Goldrick for some analysis of Dublin 4-11, Mayo 11 points. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Cliona O'Connor, who was a stalwart between the sticks for Dublin for a long time and an All-Ireland winner herself. Cliona, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
We should just start on a point that we left with the girls before the ad break. 46,000 at the final. The viewing figures on TG Car were 303,000, which is up 100,000 on 10 years ago. It's up even 70,000 on last year. There was genuine interest in this game. The coverage of it, I thought, in the build-up to it was good. And both Sinead Finnegan and Sinead Goldrick were talking about just, you know, what an extra bonus it was to play in that kind of atmosphere. It was actually a great day for women's sport in this country. I appreciate there's a long journey to go, but it was pretty special yesterday. It felt like another step forward for the game.
Yeah, to be honest, it felt like a massive step forward to the game. And for those of us who were lucky to be there yesterday, you know, they talk about sporting events being an occasion, and maybe that's something that's been missing in women's sport up to now. But yesterday, with the extra crowd and the atmosphere and the quality of the football, there was definitely a sense of occasion. And you had that feeling as a spectator of, you know, I was at that match, and you can talk to people about it. So it was something that you felt like you were special, that you were at it, you know. Obviously me for the Dublin win, but also like the massive jump forward in attendance. And I don't think there's one thing you can put that down to.
Yeah.
I think the coverage definitely in the previous week coming off the game has been different. I think there's a different tone to it. There's more analysis. There's more about the actual tactical stuff around the game. Obviously, you've got the Cora Staunton factor. She's a massive figure in ladies football and in women's sport in Ireland. Everybody knows Cora, so she brought something to it. The symmetry between the men and the women's football, that was an extra bit. The dual sponsorship, so AIG having both men's and women's, and in Mayo as well, I know they have a joint campaign. So I think all of that together, it kind of pushed things to a new level, I suppose, that we have to keep achieving now is
yeah.
keep it. That's now normal. Like if you asked 5 or 6 years ago, it was, will we get 30? Will we get 32 or whatever? Like we're now at 46. So we didn't think we'd jump that quickly, but we have, which is wonderful. And I think it's a mark of, I suppose, the dominance and the strength of ladies football in Ireland, but also a shift in women's sport and the mindset surrounding women's sport in general.
To the game itself, at halftime, I'm very curious for your thoughts, because Dublin led by 3 points. Mayo had come through sin binnings as well at that point. And on the one hand, Dublin should have been ahead by more. There was the missed penalty. There was the Noel Healy. I mean, it was a brilliant effort, really, but the effort that came off the post. Like, it would have been just a glorious finish if that had gone in. So they were like some gilt-edged chances. And I'm just curious, were you thinking at halftime, oof, we should be ahead a lot more here, and I have a nagging feeling in the back of my head? Or were you thinking, this is ours, we're going to score more goals here? I'm curious for your feeling at halftime on the game.
Yeah, I suppose it was edgy at halftime. I mean, it was very close. Dublin had created chances. You did, I mean, it did cross my mind, are we going to regret those chances that we didn't capitalise on? And you did, I mean, again, respect to Mayo in terms of having two sin bins and being able to minimise the damage in that period.
Yeah,
was exceptional. That was. Great credit to them. I suppose I still felt, though, Mayo kicked a lot of wides in the first half as well, so they'd missed opportunities. I kind of felt like both teams were going to push on in the second half. I did think Dublin were looking more dangerous if they could just, I suppose, convert or execute some of the chances in front of goal.
Yeah.
They seemed to be, there was a bit more spark about them up front. So I guess I was hoping that that was going to continue and they wouldn't retreat in the second half, which they didn't, I think. And I think that maybe the second half piece, the difference between this team and how they've performed in previous years, when Mayo were running at them in the second half, whereas in previous years they would retreat, I think would be a good word for it.
Right.
And, you know, they'd let the other team run at them. Now, while Mayo were still running at them, they were dispossessing, they were going on the attack. They mightn't have converted every chance, but they were still attacking all the time. They were never going into a defensive position. They tried to stay offensive for the entire game, which was the key, I think.
It's also a Dublin team. They were the pacier team as well. You've got Nicole Owens, Nicole Healy, Sinead Goldrick, who was just on. Like, there were runners in this Dublin team to spring attacks on Mayo at any moment.
I think so, and I think that probably, like I mentioned before the game, I was talking about both teams would need to be very clean in executing tackles and dispossessing and all of that. And I think that was a challenge for Mayo, and something maybe they struggled to deal with yesterday was, I mean, we saw a lot of jersey pulls and things like that. I think because of the Dublin pace, when they started to run at Mayo and they were beating players, you know, they were winning frees because of those maybe indisciplined tackles. So I think that was a big factor in the Dublin win, was that burst of pace and the fitness and the ability to do that all the way to the end of the game. I mean, they were still doing that in the last 5 minutes. That's how they got the goals, you know.
Yeah, the two late goals obviously put a certain sheen on and complexion on the scoreboard, 4-11 to 11 points. But this game was there for Mayo for a large chunk of yesterday. Cora Staunton's role, she had 16 shots over the course of the game. She scored with 7 of them. And it was noticeable the rest of the Mayo team only took 7 shots between them. So, quite understandably, for Mayo, Staunton remained their go-to player and there was a reliance on her having a very good day. She didn't quite have her best day, and she didn't much there was not much margin for error for Cora Staunton, so you'd have sympathy for her in that regard. When Mayo are reviewing that game, like, if you had said to them before the game, Cora Staunton's going to get 16 shots off, that would worry Dublin.
Yeah, definitely. I think actually the semi-final and the quarter-final, the Mayo beat Cork, and what made them dangerous and what made them very, very good on both those days, I think, was their forwards were playing differently. I think Cora was getting on the end of every move, where, you know, so she wasn't the target person as such. Other people would win the ball and she'd, you know, loop around and get a, you know, a small hand pass, 2 shots, kick it over the bar.
Yeah.
So, but to be honest, I didn't see that yesterday. I think they maybe reverted to kind of a very direct ball into Cora, and I think the Dublin defence had their homework done, to be honest. I think they tried to minimise as much as Mayo's movement in the forward line as possible and slow everything down. And even, like, I rewatched the game today, even at times it was just a little kind of a hand in, so the Mayo girl would fumble the ball or just slow them down, not let them turn, and that kind of took the momentum out of the Mayo forward line all the time. I mean, to credit Cora, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on her today, you know, and there's a lot of talk about will it be her last game and all of that type of stuff. And, you know, she did kick maybe an uncharacteristic amount of wides, which happens to all players at times, you know, but I think they weren't allowed to play like they had in the semi-finals and quarter-finals, I think took some of the firepower out of them.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. I mean, I guess we'll find out in due course if that was preordained and their decision during the week, or if the way the game unfolded, Cora felt like the only player they could work the ball to. It'd be very interesting to find that out from the Mayo camp.
Yeah, but I suppose from a sports point of view, when you're under pressure, is that concept of you revert to habits and you revert to type. So maybe the change we've seen in the last couple of games hasn't been ingrained as strongly in the Mayo camp as it needed to be. So under pressure, it was Cora, let's go to the go-to person, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas if they'd done it slightly differently, things might have been a bit better.
And Cliona, as for the overall landscape now, we've come through this period really of probably unprecedented and unrepeatable dominance from a Cork side who have to rejuvenate in some respects and get some new players in. We'll see where Mayo are next year and how they come back, and we'll see does Cora Staunton stay on. And we have this Dublin side who've been in 4 All-Ireland finals in a row. Are they set to dominate now, or what's the overall landscape between the top teams?
I think probably we have more top teams competing at a kind of more even level, which is good for the game.
Yeah,
I mean, it was 4-11 to 11 yesterday, but on another day, that could be very different. So I think Mayo are up there. Cork are still up there. I think you have the likes of Donegal, who were red-hot favourites earlier in the season. They got to a league final. So I think they can push on. So I think over the next couple of years, if Dublin maintain their level of preparation and performance, they can really have a good shout of, I suppose, being more dominant as they have been over the last couple of years. But I do think it's going to get more competitive, without a shadow of a doubt. I think quarterfinals, semifinals are going to be more competitive, and I think it'll be good for the game. I don't think Dublin are going to be there's any God-given right now to be dominant. It took an awful lot of work to produce yesterday's performance, and I think they're going to have to work even harder. And then managing the psychology of being All-Ireland champions is a challenge too. I mean, we had that in 2010. I don't think we managed it very well in 2010 because it had been so long coming. You know, we were just so delighted that we'd won. So, I think that'll be a key piece for Dublin, how they manage the weight of finally being All Ireland champions.
Yeah, Cliona, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.